Well, Happy New Year to everyone. This is 2020, new decade, many things to look forward to. 2020, of course, begins not only a new year, but a new church theme. In case you weren't aware, the church does have a theme each year, and this year in particular, it's the mission of your life, spread the gospel. And you could find it in your bulletin, I think on the online version as well as the paper version. And this year, with the church theme, the leadership in the church decided that both the Chinese and the English congregations will be going through, at least in the first months of the year, the same sermons across both congregations. Okay, so we have two parallel sermon series on basically the same passages. So if you get bored with the English, you could go over to the Chinese and vice versa. But also, I would encourage you to, if you come to the English service more often or the Chinese more often, to speak to somebody in the other congregation and ask them about the sermon that they heard, because it will be the same passage, but undoubtedly with a slightly different thrust to it. For the first few months of 2020, we are focusing on a series of characters in the Old Testament. So it's basically a character study of various figures, looking at how God's mission is encompassed through God's people, through different individuals who have been called and chosen by God for his mission, for his greater mission. And today comes one of my favorites, Abraham, or as the passage says, Abram, as he was known in his former life. And the passage today is from Genesis 12. We'll be focusing on verses 1 through 9. We have the passage up to, on the slides. Perhaps you can join me in standing and we could read it together. Please stand for the reading of God's word. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Next. Dramatic pause. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hill east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the person of Abraham, that we know so well as the father of faith. But we thank you for this passage, which was so pivotal in his life, in his calling, and how you had chosen him to start a new nation. But even more, Lord, we pray that you speak to us through this man, life into ours, that we may hear your voice as Abram did as well. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Please be seated. So we have in this passage a call, the call of Abram by God. And in the very beginning, these first three verses of the passage, we have three very basic things that God is asking of Abram. The first thing, and we see this in the very first verse, not the 12th verse, that's chapter 12. The first verse is to leave your country, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. The first thing is to leave. Okay? And it's interesting here, in most your translations, NIV, ESV, RSV, most of your Bible translations, it'll say, go from your country. Okay? Some translations will also say, go from your land. Okay? And there's a particular reason for this in the text. But in particular, you know, this idea of this country or your land, go from this place, right? And I think this actually makes sense given that we're in Scotland, right? Because what is Scotland but the land of the Scots, right? It is the land of the Scots. It is the land of the people of Scotland, the Scottish people, okay? And this may be a very poignant year to be reflecting on this, but in any case, you know, this is the land of the Scots. And as the land of the Scots, it's also a country. It's a nation, right? But it's also a land. It's a place, right? The next idea, go from your people, okay? In some translations, it says your kindred, your kinfolk, depending on what translation you're looking at. And it's a little bit more, it's connected to this idea of a country, but it's probably closer in Scotland to this notion of a clan. Okay? McLeod, McIntyre, McChow. This notion of a clan, right? You know, because it's not just the people of Scotland, but it's a clan within this land of Scotland, right? This land of the Scots. So it's a more focused subgrouping. And then the very third, the last of these three things to leave is your father's household. What is your father's household? Literally, your father's household. Okay. We in contemporary days, oftentimes, especially here in Scotland, very few of us, if we have are married with families or have families of our own, we do not live in our father's household. During this time, and perhaps in more traditional Chinese culture also, you know, you have this idea that, you know, everybody lives under a patriarch's home, right? You're under this patriarch's family. You're part of this overarching group of households. And Abram's father, Terah, and his family is where Abram was living. But here, God says, go, leave. Leave your country or your land. Leave your people, your kindred, your clan. Leave your father's house. And actually, the image that you see in this passage of these three items is actually a shrinking of the scope. There's a focusing down from the land to the clan to the household. Okay, down to yours. Okay, leave all these things. And God, in this one verse alone, is trying to hammer home, leave it all. Okay, you might be attached to this land. You might be attached to your clan. You might be attached to your father's household. Leave it all. Leave it all. And it comes to this very strong sense of leaving. And this is, of course, before the days of WhatsApp and Facebook. You know, when you leave your father's household, you cannot connect as easily to your father's household or to others of your kindred or your land. But leave it all, God says. But in the next half of that verse, God... In the next part of verse 1, God says, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. Okay? And this is an interesting term because it is go from your country, people, father's household, but remember, a country is also land. Okay? In the Hebrew, is this word eretz. Okay? Eretz, go from your eretz to a new eretz. Go from this land to a new land. Okay? So it's not just leaving from something, but it's going somewhere. Okay? God is commanding Abram to leave the land of his heritage, of his comfort, of his of what he knows and loves. Abandon it all, but not abandon it for nothing. Abandon it for something new. But there's another point here that we see in the latter part of this verse. That it is a land that he doesn't know. God doesn't tell him where he's going. God doesn't tell him where he's going. He says, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. Okay? To the land I will show you. So it is an unknown land. This is an unknown land that is new for Abram. And God says, leave to go to something that you don't understand, you don't know. Don't know if it'll be good, even, you know, in a sense. But the plan will be more fully known later on. It'll be clear when it becomes clear, in other words. In verse 2 here, God explains, though, that it's not just to go and to just follow this command to leave. But he says, what does he say? I will make you into a great nation. What does that mean? He's talking about his offspring. Through his children and his children's children and all these different offspring, they're going to grow into this great nation. And I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And this verses 2 and 3 are very interesting because they extend this command to be a command that has a blessing. That oftentimes, you know, when we think about commands, you know, when we think about, you know, somebody tells you to do something. You know, I don't like when people tell me to do things. I don't know about you. You know, I tend to be quite independent in my mind, you know, and so forth. And you know, oftentimes when somebody says, well, you need to do this, and it's like, really, do I need to do that? I don't really feel like I want to do that, you know, because, you know, for me, I'm my own person, right? But here, what we see, and I think this is a broader theme that we see in the Bible and in the Old Testament in particular, is that when God is commanding God's people, He commands them to do something not, He commands somebody them to do something in order to bless them, as a means, as part of a means to bless them and to bless those around Him. So, take for instance the Ten Commandments, you know, these great ten statements of what it is that we are to do, what you should and should not do. In particular, if you Deuteronomy 5, the Ten Commandments, when it shows up there, the very next chapter, Deuteronomy 6, the passage reads, you know, when your children ask you, you know, why do you give us all these rules, right? Why do we have all these commands? What is the meaning of these rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your children, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt. And the Lord commanded us to do all these things, to fear the Lord our God, verse 24, for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as we are this day. So the Ten Commandments, in the context of Deuteronomy 5 and 6, they're commandments not just to command us to do what's good and bad, but what's good and bad in order for us to live well, in order for us to be blessed. That's what the passage in Deuteronomy 6 is about. And you know, you think about, you know, passages in the New Testament where, you know, and I tell my son this every so often, you know, if you ask for, you know, what was it? If you ask for an egg, you know, who gives a stone? You know, these types of ideas. You know, I'm asking you to do something not for something bad, okay? I ask you to brush your teeth not, you know, for something, you know, so that you get hurt, but it's something good for you. You know, I'm trying to bless you. You know, I'm trying to encourage you to do something that's good for you, right? And even more so, God here, God commands with a mind to bless. And there's an important point, I think, that we can see, glean from these verses. And I'll come back to this idea in a moment. But that the blessing is not for Abram himself only. It is also for his offspring. And it is also for all those who interact with his offspring. Right? So it's for that nation that is being built. You know, that there will be a great nation. And not only that, but those who bless him will be blessed. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse whoever curses you. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So through Abram and through his people, through the nation of Israel, all nations, all peoples will be blessed. We'll come back to this in a moment. But in principle, God's commands here, God commands result in God's blessings. If we move on to the next slide, verses 4 through 9, we have here, what does Abram do? We don't know what's going on in the dialogue. All we know is that Abram listens. Abram obeys. He obeys. He has limited information. He doesn't know exactly where he's going. He just knows that he's told to leave to a new place, and God will show him when it's time to be shown. And that doing so would render a blessing, a great blessing. And so he obeys. He goes and he takes his nephew with him, and he goes, he's 75 years old. Okay, and this I think is such a great thing. I'll come back to this in a second. But he obeys God even at this ripe age. He obeys God, but also he's awestruck. And I see this in particular. You know, he goes and he travels with his family to this land of Canaan. And when they arrive there, right, they know there's Canaanites there. And in verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. And what does Abram do? He built an altar there to the Lord, but appeared to him. He built an altar there to the Lord, but appeared to him. He worships God. He comes to the place where God has promised, and he's awestruck. And he worships God. Why does he worship God? I think, you know, in this passage, you know, it's funny because the passage doesn't say that he gets the land right now. Okay? It says, verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. Right? So it's not something that he receives right now, but it's a promise that God gives. It's like, I remember very, very keenly some almost 9 years ago when my Betty was pregnant with Benjamin, you know, and there was a slight question mark we had in early stages of health of Benjamin. We went in and we got an ultrasound, right? And, you know, baby's healthy, great, you know. And I remember watching the ultrasound and watching the heartbeat on the whole ultrasound, you know. And, like, Yeah, there were a lot of tears in that room. Let me just say that. because, you know, there's so much emotion there, right? Why? Because there's a child that's alive. And there's a child to be born. And there's this expectation of this promise that is coming to fruition. And this sense of a glimpse of the future promise being fulfilled, this is what is happening here. That for Abram, he sees this land. It's full of people already, the Canaanites. But God says to him, your offspring, I will give this land. And he's enamored by this. He's awestruck by this. And he worships God. And from verse 8, from there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. He worships God. And then he moves on. And so for this passage, I think, you know, there's a lot that we can gain from this passage. In particular, and I know I've shared this in this church at least once before, but you know, this passage in particular is very significant for myself. There was this time in my own life many years ago, actually over a decade and a half ago, in which I was living still and working as an engineer in San Diego, and I was growing a sense of God taking me elsewhere and perhaps asking me to quit my job and to seek training to minister in some way in China. And I remember very distinctly having a conversation with my dad on the phone. Okay, this was back in the day when you call people, you know, on the phone. And I was talking to my dad on the phone, and my dad, who's not a Christian, you know, I'm telling him, you know, I'm searching, but I think that God is wanting me to go elsewhere, you know, calling me perhaps to quit my job and leave the country. And he says to me very clearly, there is no God who would ever ask anyone to leave his home or leave his country to serve him. And immediately my dad hung up the phone. Okay. It was a huge shock to me, right? My dad never slammed the phone on me before. But of course, my dad, as I reflected on that the moments after, I realized that my dad does not know the God of the Bible, the God of Abram, the God who called, in particular, a person in the Bible of Abram to leave his country, his people, his family, and his father's household. And I was also reminded at that moment of the passage in 2 Corinthians 12 when Jesus speaks to Paul in the midst of his suffering, and I felt like I was suffering a bit in my predicament. I was asking God, why am I in this family that, you know, why are my parents not Christians and so forth? And the passage in 2 Corinthians 12, of course, is of the thorn in the side, and Jesus says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And for Abram here, I think this is actually my own experience of this passage. It reflects a bit of what I think is happening here with Abram. Why did God choose Abram? We don't know much about Abram in chapter 11 is where Abram is introduced. And we don't really know much about him at all, aside from his genealogy. That's what the second half of Genesis 11 is about. But God chooses Abram, I think, ultimately because of his grace. What is grace but a gift, and a beautiful gift that God had chosen Abram at that time. And knowing that it is through grace that we are chosen or given things, Abram only responds in faith. That's all he could do, is respond in faith. He obeys, is awestruck, is filled with gratitude, and he worships. But also, here in verse 4, it's interesting because Abram was 75 years old when he set out. I don't know if about you, you know, but when I pray about things, when I ask God about things, oftentimes I hope that he answers before I'm 75. perhaps others in this room are more long-suffering than myself, you know, but for me, I want to know, you know, actually then. but here, it's very interesting because Abram is 75. That's the worst time. I don't know. I'm just guessing. At your, when you're advanced in your years, that's the worst time to move countries, I think. it's hard enough to move countries in your 20s or 30s or 40s or your teens or whatever, you know. But when you're 75, starting a new life, going to a new place that you don't have a clue where you're going, that's pretty tough, okay? But of course, God's timing is not our timing. And for Abram, and perhaps for many of us, we need to persevere in seeking out for God's time, God's work to happen. And we sometimes have to wait a very long time. But also, in this text and beyond, we actually have to realize that God's plans are bigger than our plans. We don't have the passage here, but if you have your Bibles, you can look in Genesis 11, where Abram's family is genealogy is discussed. In Genesis 11:31, it talks about how Terah, who's Abram's father, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together, that is Terah and his family, together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Okay, what's that mean? They were on route. Terah, Abram's father, was on route to Canaan, on route to this very land. Okay, that was already in the cards for Terah, but it never comes to fruition. He stops in Haran. And for Terah, you know, he may be on his way there, but he stops, and it's Abram that actually finishes the task for Terah. In a sense, along with the call for Abram, he is part of a bigger plan of what God is doing in his family. But on the flip side, he never actually sees the fulfillment of this promise. He doesn't get the land, right? And we end with this very unsettling ending in this, you know, verse 9. And then he set out and he continues on. Okay, he goes somewhere else. You know, it's unsettling the way that this passage ends, actually. But for Abram, he is part of a greater plan, this greater plan that is beyond his understanding here. And it is this greater plan that God is doing for not only Abram, but his offspring and through his father and so forth, in building a great nation through this line of family. And I think also for myself, as I mentioned previously, you know, this passage was quite poignant for my own sense of calling and my own sense of ministry and so forth. But then actually it was interesting because when we were living in China, many years ago now. I remember very distinctly somebody asking me, why did you start studying, Christianity in China, and part of it was, ministry reasons, but then I realized at one point, I was like, well, part of it is also to figure out a bit of who I am myself, because I'm a Chinese American. I thought, well, take away the American and you figure out the Chinese Christian, Chinese American Christian, you take away the American, you have a Chinese Christian, right? So you kind of figure out some things with that, but actually the more and more I reflect on it, and as I'm here in Edinburgh and I teach on this subject and I research on this, but I research other things as well, I realize that more and more God prepares my life, that God is revealing more and more of the bigger plan in my own life, and for me to understand that even till this day, I am looking for this this land that God will show. But the point, I think, is that we need to be faithful in the things that God has given us. That for Abram, it is this faithfulness to going, leaving and going to this land. He doesn't know why he's going, aside from that there's going to be a blessing and that there will be a great nation. He doesn't know that, whether or not he will get that land. He does not know if that's where he's going to be living in long term. Actually, the next passage, he goes down to Egypt and so forth. So it's actually, he's quite a nomadic life at this point in time. But the point, I think, is that for Abram and also for myself and for all of us, we need to be faithful in the things that God reveals to us, that God has for our life in the little ways, as that is part of a bigger plan that actually for many of us we cannot fully understand. But I think also in verses 2 and 3, I think it's also very important to recognize that we are blessed not for ourselves alone, but that we are blessed to bless others. I was thinking about this last night. Betty and I were watching The Farewell, which is a great movie. I recommend it to you. If you haven't seen it, The Farewell. If you have no clue what I'm talking about, ask me afterwards. It's a great movie. But The Farewell, it talks about an immigrant family, a Chinese family that moves to the States, and then something happens in their family and stuff like that they have to return to China and stuff. And there's this dialogue that's happening between the daughter that is moved with the family to the States, and this argument between the daughter and the mother. It's like, why did you take us to the States? We left our family, and da 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 da. And the sense of disdain of the parents and stuff like that. But I was like watching that scene, and I was thinking about myself, because in many ways, I think for many of the people in this room, maybe not everybody here, our lives are much less like Abram. Okay, we are not often called to go somewhere. Okay, some of us are immigrants. Okay, I am in many ways. But not all of us are called to go somewhere. Okay, many of us are actually that nation that's being built. Okay, that we are the recipients of those who have moved forward. Okay, for many here in this room, your families have come over from China, Hong Kong, somewhere else. your families have moved from somewhere else. Your parents have come. And I think about myself and how many times my parents told me, we moved to the States to give you an opportunity in life, right? So many times my dad and my mom would tell me that as growing up. And when I told them I was thinking about going elsewhere, they said, we left that place to bring you something better, And here, I think, for many of us, it is not so much that we are Abram as we are Abram's offspring. that we are less those who have been chosen to leave, but are the children of those who have been chosen those things. And the question for us is perhaps less, where do we go, but a reflection on how have we been blessed. And to consider through our blessings, how we have been blessed, how we are called to bless others. Of all the blessings of opportunity and privilege, and indeed even calling as Christians, all of this we have been given. But how do we use it for God's blessing of others? I think about a very famous passage, John 3:16, for God so loved me that he died. Oh, no, no, that's not actually how the verse goes, right? For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, right? It is, you know, we think about our salvation, we think about our Christian walks about in terms of our personal salvation. But it is not about God who saves simply me, but that God loves the world. And so it is not just me who is saved. It is not just me who is blessed. But we are blessed to bless others. And I think if we think more broadly about the church theme, that God's calling for Abram, for me, for you, is part of a bigger purpose, a bigger plan of God's mission for this world. In many ways, our contribution is so little, but it is also still so important. We are blessed to bless others. So I think, in conclusion, I think it's worthwhile for us to consider, do we ask God to speak to us? Do we ask God to command us? And are we willing to follow what God calls of us and respond in obedience? But moreover, do we ask God to use us in whatever way for bigger plans that are beyond our comprehension, for bigger ways than we can ever conceive of? And pray for strength to be faithful in the things that He has shown to us. But even more, how do we bless others? We are blessed in so many different ways, materially, spiritually, in our money, our time, our homes, our resources, our lives, our faiths, our God. Do we ask God how we can use these things to bless others? None of this is from ourselves or from our own doing. For God's grace is sufficient for us, calling us, beckoning us to respond in obedience. And the greatest father of faith is God Himself, who has called and sent His own Son to die as a testimony, but also to empower us to be faithful and give to those who lack in faith. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, we give thanks to You for how You have blessed the saints of old. How You bless Abram, how You've called him, how You've called him out of Haran and into Canaan to see a vision, see a promise for something magnificent, something far beyond his comprehension. But we thank You also for other saints of old, in the Old Testament, as well as in the New, and also those
in our midst. These are witnesses of your faithfulness and a people who are faithful to you. Father, help us. Help us in all that we do. That in 2020, this year, perhaps with this theme, but also perhaps in something beyond the scope of any human conceived themes, that you may speak to your servants, for we are eagerly waiting and listening. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.